You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, good morning. Today is our last study on the book of Ephesians. So we have got there. It has been amazing. I hope that you found it helpful. But we've covered all of that in the last few months. And it's funny, I was listening to a sermon on Ephesians, and one church in particular, they had studied this out for 2 years. I would love to do that personally, because it is so rich. It is so deep. We really only just scratched the surface. So what do we do with all that we have learned from this incredible book? We apply it to our lives. Amen? So to do that, what I'd like us to do just for a minute is just to take, take a few deep breaths, and I want you to think about this question. What would it look like for you to live a life where you are truly alive with Christ or in Christ? What would that look like for you to be truly alive in Christ? So just center yourself for a minute, just take a few deep breaths, and just ask God to show you personally what would it look like for you to live a life truly alive in Christ. And just think for a moment to yourself. So I asked that question to the ushers. We have a communion time together before the service, and one of them said just to be really mindful of the presence of Jesus just all the time. Someone else said to think eternally, to constantly just be mindful that this earth and this world, this is not our home, and what I'm living for is for the eternal. And what I thought about was just in every interaction, at every stage, just being empowered to make the right choice, to say the right thing, to respond in the right way. So I wonder what you might have thought about. And I'd like you just to bear that in mind and just lock it away until the end of the sermon, and then we will come back to that. So our text today, as we look at Ephesians chapter 6, is going to be the last two verses in the entire book. And it says here, peace be to the brothers and sisters and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. What an amazing paragraph. So today, our title is we're going to focus in on that phrase, that those last two words of the entire book of Ephesians, incorruptible love. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given us a life in Christ. Thank you for saving us, redeeming us, rescuing us. But more than that, giving us an amazing life to live. Thank you, God, that you love us so deeply and so richly. And we pray that we will love you back with an incorruptible love. Teach us today. Show us what that means and looks like for every one of us on a personal, individual level. Because you know what our heart needs. You know what our mind needs. And so we invite you in to teach us to live out this amazing life that you've called us to live. We thank you, and it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So before we get into the text and talk about that concept first, let's look at what that word means. And so in the NIV, we don't see that phrase incorruptible love. It talks about this concept of an undying love, which of course is similar. But in the NASB and other translations and more connected to the Greek, it's incorruptible love. And this simply means a love that is truly genuine, that it is wholehearted. So in our love for Jesus, it is unconditional. It doesn't matter what happens, we stay devoted to him forever. It is a love that never, ever ends, that no one could ever impact, no one could ever take us away from. That is the love that that incorruptible love means. Yes, it's a love that may not always be perfect. We might have our good days and our bad days. But it's a love that no matter what, it will never be corrupted. It can never be turned from loving Jesus. Let me ask you something. Who in here has ever changed allegiance from one sports team to another? I know, that's a deep... Steve Lounsbury. Wow. You got to tell us, Steve. Okay, that makes sense. All right. Good choice, good choice. Okay. We'll forgive you for that one. But Steve's love was corruptible, right? It was corrupted. So as you know, I'm an Arsenal fan. And Let's go, let's go. And Elijah was indoctrinated from very young. And so he's my ardent, you know, ardent fan by my side. And so from very young, we've gone to games, etc. And the last picture was us here at the SoFi Stadium playing against Barcelona, I think. So that was pretty awesome. Oh, no, Manchester United, that one. But, and then my other sons, they're kind of like, You know, one of my other sons is like, yeah, he's kind of like, yeah, they're okay. And then I was talking to my another son about Arsenal yesterday because I was watching the game. And I said, why don't you support Arsenal? He said, they're too nice. I said, what do you mean? He said, there's no killer edge to them. I was like, that makes them a nice team. He said, see? But the truth is, no matter how they perform, whether they win, you know, a championship or a league title or not, whether they end up, my love for them is incorruptible, right? Am I always happy with them? No. Do they always sign the right players, the players that I think they should sign? No. But my love for them is incorruptible. And it's stupid, because all they're doing is kicking a ball around into a net. And yet there's this love that will hopefully, that will never die. How much more so should our love be for Jesus? So today, we're going to look at why we should love Jesus with an incorruptible love, what can threaten that love, and how we can ensure and assure that that love never dies. Okay, so why? Well, the why is simple. The why is the entire first three chapters of the book of Ephesians. And what did we find in those first three chapters? Do you remember? 54 blessings upon blessings upon blessings that are with us in Christ, because of Christ, through Christ, because of God's amazing grace. Why should we love Jesus with an incorruptible love? There's 54 reasons right there. That never dies. You could study that out for an entire year, 1 week at a time for each word, and you still have some left over for the next year. For life, you could study that out. Why should we love Jesus with an incorruptible love? Because we are so, so blessed. Look at some of these words. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We belong to Him. In the waters of baptism, we've been raised to a new life. That old life is gone. It's dead. It's buried. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. We are citizens of God's kingdom. That's amazing. You know, my wife this week or last week, she got her U.S. citizenship, which is awesome. But that's nothing compared to the citizenship that we have in Christ. Nothing compared. And yet we can sometimes be thrown off kilter by what's going on in the world. That's the only really important one. And I don't even have time to talk about the depth, the breadth, the height of what? Of the love of Christ for us. That's just mind-blowing. He says, you'll never fully understand. You'll never fully know how loved you are. Because we can only sometimes compare it to what? Human love. But he's saying it's way beyond that. It's way beyond your ability to understand the concept of love. That's Jesus' love for you. So why should we love Jesus back with an incorruptible love? Because we are so, so blessed and so deeply loved. So if that is the case, then why is Paul writing this whole letter to encourage them, to warn them, to make sure that their love is not incorruptible? If we are so loved, so blessed, what on earth could threaten our love for Jesus? So we're going to look at a few things today that Paul has spoken about. And so these are references back to what we've been looking at over the past few months. But the entire letter really highlights some ways in which Satan wants to corrupt our love for Jesus. So the first one is simply, we would call maybe spiritual apathy. Hopefully you can see that. I'm not sure if you can. But it's forgetting God's blessings, His grace, His love, His revelation, His gospel, His Holy Spirit. That's why Paul takes three chapters to remind them just how loved and blessed they are. Why? Because maybe they had forgotten. Maybe they had taken their eyes off, as Amy reminded us. They're no longer fixing their eyes on Jesus. Maybe their problems with each other were blinding the fact that they are so loved and were so blessed. That's easy to corrupt our love if we take our eyes off of Jesus, if we don't realize how blessed we really are. Secondly, which I've alluded to, another issue is they had perhaps contempt for one another. Contempt just means you look down on other people. They're lower than you. And we see within the letter, and we've spoken about this, that if we're not careful, especially in a community like ours, where we're not all the same, we could perhaps have contempt racially for one another, politically, socioeconomically, even generationally. All of these things, they corrupt our love for Jesus. Why? Because John even tells us, if you can't love your fellow brother and sister, no matter what background they are from, you don't love God. That's a hard teaching. That's a difficult teaching. So God places us together in this family to show this type of love that the world needs to know, so that we can be a light to the world and then love God in the process. Yes, we can have relational issues. Paul addresses pride, arrogance, impatience, anger, bitterness, slander, issues in marriage and parenting. But all of those things, if we're not careful, they can corrupt our love for God and for Jesus if we don't deal with these things relationally. When you and your spouse may not be getting along well, how do you feel about your relationship with God? Oh, there was a nervous laugh there. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It can corrupt. It can block somehow our connection with God. It can stop us from praying like the Bible even says, right? So he's saying, listen, don't let anything relationally block your devotion to Jesus and loving him. You know, one of the quotes of the year, a Dallas Willard quote of the year for me is this one. He says, you can't earn spiritual maturity by checking off devotions. A person can have perfect quiet times for 30 years and still be angry, anxious, or self-centered. That's convicting, very convicting. And what he's saying here is, listen, just because you're doing the right actions, the right church actions, the spiritual behavior, doesn't mean that it's truly transforming you from the inside out. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. And in fact, what's going on around you is having more of an influence on you than the Word of God. What is shaping you externally is having more of an influence than the Holy Spirit. He's saying, listen, there has to be a transformation that's at work within you that comes from you not just living in this space spiritually, religiously, but engaging with it intentionally so that we can truly change and transform. He then finishes out with his list through sins of commission, walking in darkness, as the scriptures tell us, sexual sins, greed, drunkenness, unwholesome talk and language. And he finishes out with neglecting God's power, not taking a stand or failing to equip ourselves with God's armor. All of those things, if you think about them, every single one of them has the potential to corrupt our love for Jesus. That's why he addresses them. That's why he warns the church over and over. They threaten our love for our Lord Jesus. Now, in verse 26, it says, in verse 25, it says, love for our Lord Jesus. For us as Christians today, I think, we sometimes can forget what that word Lord means. It means that Jesus is our what? He's our master. That's what that word Lord means. It means we are constantly striving to learn to be like him. How do I respond in this situation? We are apprentices of Jesus to learn to be like him. That's what it means for him to be our Lord, our master. The truth is, every one of those is relevant to all of us as a collective. But let me invite you. Which one stands out to you personally? Now, look back to the question I asked you at the very beginning. What does it look like for you to live a life truly alive with Christ? And then think about which one of those does God want you maybe just to try and lean into? Because that could be the very thing that is stopping you from becoming truly alive in Christ in your walk with him. Okay, let's move on. Okay. So how do we do this? How do we ensure that our love is not corruptible? Well, it's the opposite of all of those things that we just looked at. It's taking time to be mindful on a daily basis of how grateful we are for all the blessings that we have in Christ. It's why we have a quiet time. It's why we pray. It's why we meditate on the Word of God. It's why we come to church. Now, some days have more of an impact than others, but when we are intentional about our time with God, to focus in on the gratitude, to focus in on being mindful of all that we have in Christ, they're beautiful opportunities for koinonia, for fellowship with Him, with His Holy Spirit, and with one another when we get together. But if we just go through it as that checkbox activity, that's what Dallas Willard is saying. They have no impact. It's failing to truly transform us. You know, an app that I've been using recently that has just come out is called Hearing Heart. It's by Life Model Works, the organization who did Living from the Heart Jesus Gave You. And I start my quiet times. It's a whole year's worth of reflections on the character and the nature of God. And it's things like God is, and the point is that we lean into adoring God every single day. And it's just a 5 or 6 minute devotion. It's a beautiful, beautiful study. And there's things in there that He accepts us. So I'm just in the A's right now. So He accepts us as we are and who we are. He sends angels to protect us. That threw me off a little bit, but it's all over scriptures. So it's a beautiful way just to set our hearts and our minds every single day into the presence of Jesus, being grateful for what He's doing in our lives. Unfortunately, it's only available on iPhones right now, but they are going to be releasing it for Google pretty soon. So let me encourage you, download that. Next year, maybe you could start your quiet times every day just basking in the love of God as you place yourself in His loving arms. Secondly, how we grow in incorruptible love is having a sincere love for one another. So regardless of our racial differences, ethnic differences, political differences, socioeconomic and generational factors, regardless of those, we've been reminded what? That the walls of hostility have been broken down. We are members of one body. We are one people. We are one family. We belong to one another. Therefore, we should be filling ourselves with compassion, with empathy, with intentionality, with hospitality, so that we can get to know one another. It's people who are very different from yourself. Yes, it's harder to connect on those levels, but it's not impossible. How different are we to Jesus? And yet He was willing to come down to humble Himself, to walk among us. Can you imagine what He gave up? Surely we can humble ourselves with one another. We can engage with curiosity rather than suspicion. We can truly break down those barriers that the world wants to set up. It has no place here, but it means that we break out of our comfort zones, that we share real hospitality with one another, that we are curious, like I said. Thirdly, we work on ourselves. We strive to become humble, gentle, kind, patient, forgiving, getting help when we need it in our marriages or in our parenting. You know, it's difficult to grow when there's something deeper that's at work blocking that growth. And we need help. Sometimes we might need some professional help. Other times we might just need to do the deeper work, the deeper digging, to really try to expose what's really going on inside. I personally was really grateful that we were able to do Living from the Heart Jesus Gave You, because it meant that we could peel back just a little bit what might be behind some of the struggles and some of the trauma that sometimes shows itself and rears its head when our certain buttons get pressed. This was the maturity assessment that we did. Do you remember this? My one that I've been trying to work on this whole year is to stay grounded and relational in hard and difficult moments, helping myself and other people to return to joy. That's my one. And it goes back to my childhood. And I've shared this before. So I grew up as an only child, so I never saw conflict being resolved between my mom and my dad. So I didn't know necessarily how to do that very well. My mom was sometimes, would just, as I said, send me away if I was showing signs of difficult emotions. And so I didn't ever learn how to process emotions really in a healthy way. And so then I get married to a wonderful woman. And of course, we press each other's buttons. We say things that we shouldn't say. And so she responds in the way that her family grew up responding. And I grew up by just running away as quickly as I could. By retreating. Being a conflict avoider. Anyone relate to that? And so it's difficult because then I would pull back and I would retreat and I would go to my very safe cave because there it's cozy, I'm by myself, everything is safe and good in the world. But it's not. Because then you can end up acting out in unhealthy ways, thinking in unhealthy ways, you can ruminate on those emotions. Is that really what God wants for us in our relationships? Of course not. But we do have to lean into those difficult things, those immaturity gaps within our lives so that we can continue to grow. What did you do with the maturity assessment? Let me encourage you. Let's not look at it as, oh, that was just, you know, a nice thing to do as a church. This could be a window to a whole new world of being alive with Christ. This really could be the thing to unlock that area that God wants you to. You know, for me, I went into this head first, like fully invested. It's like, I've got to get to the bottom of this. So I began doing Emmanuel journaling. I've spoken about that before, to process my emotions with God. God, show me what I'm feeling. I used the How We Feel app. David Bruce introduced this to us a couple of years ago. It's been so helpful. When I do have a little bit of a conflict, then I make sure that we use the conflict resolution tools because it helps me to expose what emotions I'm feeling, what I needed from my wife, what she needed from me. It helps bring us closer together rather than allow Satan to keep us separated. A book that I've just ordered recently, which is called Reframing Your Hurts. So this is all about how to process emotions in a healthy way. You know, the truth is, if we have a growth mindset, then that being alive in Christ, it exposes us, as Dallas Willard says, into an infinite reality, into an infinite opportunity for us to grow way beyond our current capacity. That is God's vision for us. God never wants any of us just to settle. But there is this world, this reality that he has prepared for us if only we are willing to be intentional and to truly lean into it. Because it does affect our spiritual formation. So what about you? What could you lean into to help you to become fully alive with Christ? Okay, let's finish out. Walking as children of light, with righteousness, holiness, goodness, truth, testing all things. And finally, relying on God's power, equipping ourselves with his armor, and taking a stand wherever we need to. Now, when you look at this list, it looks kind of works heavy. Do you think? You could say that. But when you think about it, all of these are good works. Where have we seen that phrase in the book of Ephesians? Back in chapter 2. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance as our way of life. You see that? So those good works are all of these. That's the good works that God is prepared for us to do. To be mindful and grateful of what it means for us to be in Christ. Is that a difficult thing for us to do? Of course not. To be growing in sincere love for one another. What a beautiful work that is. Working on our emotional and spiritual maturity. So that it helps us to be able to grow more and more in Christ. Walking as children of light, relying on God's power. All of those things are good works. That is our way of life as a disciple of Jesus. And the truth is, we don't have to work on those things alone. This is our part to do all of those things. But as we looked at it in a midweek, this is the role of the Holy Spirit in every single one of those areas. He partners with us. He helps us in all of those things. He strengthens us in our inner being. so that we will, Christ can dwell in our hearts through faith, so that we can know God's love, Christ's love, more and more and more. But we must create intentional space for the Spirit to be able to help us. You know, since we did this midweek, I've tried every day just to simply meditate on one of the areas in which the Holy Spirit is trying to help me to grow spiritually. It's so helpful. And then I pray through, okay, today, God, please help me to be able to aid in my family dynamic with my wife, with my kids. Show me what that looks like today. But so often it's very easy just to go into our day, go to work, interact with our family and think, okay, I've got this, when we clearly don't. And we need God to be able to help us. But creating that space invites the Spirit to be able to guide us and teach us. And then we're way more aware of His presence throughout the day. So let me encourage you, if you haven't done so already, meditate on these things. Bring them into your life every day. And then in doing so, our love for our Lord Jesus Christ truly can be incorruptible. So how did the church in Ephesians, in Ephesus, how did they do? This was Paul's charge to them. Okay, in about AD 64, how did they do? Well, when the Apostle John wrote to the church in Ephesus about 30 years later, let's see what he said to them. He said, I know your deeds, your labor, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate those who are evil, and you have tested and exposed as liars those who falsely claim to be apostles. Without growing weary, you have persevered and endured many things for the sake of my name. So it looks like they were doing pretty well, right? Yeah, it looks like it. They were good at doing the external things. They were good at the doing. Now, not that any of those things are not important, because they are. But if we're not careful, they can make us religious rather than make us spiritual. And we could have our own list. Jesus could say to us, oh, you guys are so giving, serving, always showing up to stuff. Could do with a few more people at midweek, but strong convictions, all of them are good things. But every single one of those things, whose strength does it come from? It's our strength. We're doing those things from our strength, because they're the religious things to do. Do we really need God for any of those things? The danger is that if that's where we live, our Christianity, if that's where we live our discipleship, the religious doing, then that becomes the metric of what it means to be spiritual. And that's how we might define being a strong Christian. And it can easily mask what's really going on inside. So Jesus says to them this, but I have this against you. You have abandoned your first love. Therefore, keep in mind how far you have fallen. Repent and perform the deeds you did at first. You see, the metric that Jesus uses is none of those that we might use. It's incorruptible love. It's in the being, not the doing. Because the doing comes out of the being, comes out of who we are in Christ. And in the being, we get to partner with Him. Because we can't do any of those things on our own. We need Him. And He says, here's the Spirit to help you in every single one of those areas. Every single one of them. To transform us into the likeness of Christ from the inside out. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't do the other stuff. But like I said, those things come from who we are inside. And what do you notice in this verse? Perform the deeds that you did at first. That word deeds is the same word that we see in Ephesians chapter 2, the good deeds, the good works. It's the same word. So it's all of these things. These are the things that Jesus is saying to the church. Just focus on being mindful of how blessed you are. Just love one another with a sincere love. Work on yourself, on your emotional and your spiritual maturity. Do the deeper work. Hey, be careful. Make sure you're walking as children of light, because it's not easy out there in this dark world. Hey, and in all of these things, I'm right there with you. Just create space for me. Create space for my spirit, and I will always, always help you. You see, he was calling them back to the good deeds that build up the church in love. Think back now to that question I asked you at the very beginning. What does it look like for you to live a life where you are truly alive in Christ? Which one of those things could help you to lean into that as we end out this year and we begin 2026? Ask God to show you what area of incorruptible love do you need to make sure that you are being really aware of. Pray about it. Study it out. Listen to podcasts, YouTube videos, books. Get feedback from one another. Invite the Holy Spirit to show you, because they are your good works. And then this time next year, imagine how we would feel looking back, suddenly discovering this whole new reality in Christ that Jesus has led you to, simply because you decided to love him with an incorruptible love. Wow, what a beautiful thing that would be. So as we take communion together, we're going to go back to Ephesians 2. And this is what it says. You see, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made you, me, us alive in Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. So the Bible says Jesus has made us alive in Christ. When we came out of those waters of baptism, we were alive for the first time. Now, do you feel alive as alive today as you did on your day of your baptism? Many of us do. Many of us do. But there's a whole nother aliveness that God has got in store for us. There's a whole nother realm of existence spiritually. That alive was not just a one-time thing. It's for the rest of our life for us to lean into. So with that, let's surrender whatever area it is we have to be aware of so that we can continue to grow in incorruptible love. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that you, who are rich in mercy, because of your great love for us, you have made us alive in your Son, Jesus. Thank you that he was willing for his body to be broken, for his blood to be shed, by sacrificing himself on the cross so that we can live with you, we can walk with you, we can live an amazing life in him. Lord, we are sorry for the ways that our old life tries to just crawl its way back into our lives from time to time. God, we surrender any of those areas to you today. And we ask, God, that you will breathe life into any parts, God, where our love is being corrupted. Give us wisdom as we finish this year, as we enter into 2026, to be mindful, Father, of the things that you want us to focus on and to grow in so that we can continue to be alive in Christ. We thank you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.